Now, what do you know about this particular commitment? And for instance, is this the end of it, or will it continue to escalate? Will Fiji keep sending more and more and more troops there?
Well, this is the issue, I think, that has concerned, I think, Australia and New Zealand, is that Fiji has, in fact, has the largest number of troops in peacekeeping, given its size and capacity to afford such peacekeeping, deployments. And so as a troop-contributing country, it's quite... a big issue as to its deployment. And now I think the Russians now have come in to assist Fijian peacekeepers in the goal line by providing or equipping the battalion that is presently being deployed at the moment.
The increased troop levels is under the rubric of peacekeeping deployment, as outlined by the Fiji Land Force commander. Whether Australia or New Zealand has any concerns regarding this is their prerogative, but no representative of either Australia or New Zealand has publicly made this concern.
Fiji's first deployment in UN peacekeeping in 1978, Australia has been good enough to supply, logistize Fiji's deployments. I did the reconnaissance of Fiji's last deployment to Iraq, and we were able to deploy quickly because Australia came in and supported, or in fact assisted, the logistics of that deployment. So because of Fiji's defense relationship with Australia has been suspended, the defense cooperation program, it has to actually go and seek assistance from other countries, because Fiji is not able to in fact deploy to such UN hotspots without assistance from larger countries. And that's the reason that Russia has come in to assist Fiji.
Land Forces Commander Colonel Mosese Tikoitonga says they need the additional soldiers to sustain this and a number of other deployments.
We haven't had a big deployment as such since we left Lebanon in 2002. We had 753 people in Lebanon. And because of that, our numbers in the territorial force has aged. And now with this new 500 deployment, we really need to make sure that our territorial force, which supplement about 50% of our deployment, the figures needs to be raised so that we can sustain our deployment overseas. We also have over 300 soldiers in the Sinai as part of the multinational force and observers. And we also have 198 soldiers in Iraq.
It's a lot of men, isn't it? How many of them are regular soldiers?
In all deployments, we have a 60-40% ratio. 60% regular force and a 40% territorial force ratio.
It can be actually said that Fiji will actually be tainted as being sort of siding with the Russians. This is what I say.
How will I be tainted?
Well, as I say, I mean, we'll get out that, the Fijian peacekeepers have actually been, logistized, or equipment has been provided by the Russians for the deployment of the battalion. And that won't actually sit well with anti-Assad, government forces in the civil war that is actually raging in Syria at the moment. We know that Russia is, in fact, has sided with the Assad government, these Syrian forces. And so this in some way actually heightens the risk to Fiji troops. The word will get out that the Fiji troops have been assisted by the Russians, and it somewhat actually, will actually cause problems, I'd say, in the future, of this deployment to the Golan Heights.
The assertion that Fiji will be tainted because of Russia's assistance with Fiji's deployment to a United Nations peacekeeping mission, and that there will be heightened risks for the Fiji contingent, is not only absurd but unsubstantiated. The logistics of Fiji mission to the UN compound Iraq was assisted and facilitated by the Australian government, then a member of the Coalition of the Willing. This assistance did not increase the risks then in Iraq and won't increase the risks in the peacekeeping mission in the Golan. What is surprising and rather unfortunate from the repeated mentions of the increased danger to Fiji troops is the assertion is based on a sordid hope that dangerous incidents would happen to the Fiji contingent. This outcome would undoubtedly play well with Bela Drakadroka's political umbrage with the Fiji government.
Barney Marama paid a visit to Moscow recently, ostensibly for the Fiji, well, not for the Fiji, for the World Cup Sevens. He had a series of meetings. Medvedev and others have come out and said that, you know, leave Fiji alone to get on with their own road back to democracy in the 2014 elections and other comments like that. Is Russia becoming the big brother to Fiji, and why are they now, if you like, meddling in Fiji politics?
Well, in fact, Fiji and other, you know, island states, ever since independence, have been playing the sovereignty card, you know, quite well against Australia, New Zealand, and in fact, against, you know, pretty much every other sort of global power. So I see this as nothing new. Russia is, in fact, Fiji is using Russia as such a card. It's used China well, you know, in the last 6 or 7 years that the regime has been in power. And I think this is not a sort of card, I suppose, that the sovereignty card that Fiji is using against its regional neighbors.
Russian Prime Minister's comments paraphrased as to leave Fiji alone in its path to democracy was framed by the Radio Australia announcer as, quote, meddling in Fiji politics. The Radio Australia announcer also snarkily questioned whether Russia was Fiji's new big brother. These labels are inaccurate. The Russian Prime Minister's comments signaled a vote of confidence by Russia in Fiji's progress to democracy and basically points out the behavior of Pacific regional bullies, and rightfully so. The contention that Fiji or other regional islands nations are playing the, quote, sovereignty card is misleading and simplistic. Every United Nations member country is a sovereign nation. In fact, the UN Charter is based on the sovereignty of individual nations. Every nation has a right to assert those principles of sovereignty, and Fiji, or any other Pacific Island nation, are entitled to those rights, irrespective of Australia's concerns.
Fiji has established links with Russia in terms of military support. So what will that mean in terms of your relationship?
Yeah, first and foremost, we're a non-aligned country. That needs to be said. We're a non-aligned country, and our relationship with all countries are the same.
What does Russia get in return?
Well, I suppose that is a question, you know, yet to be answered in our region. This is quite a new turn of events in as far as the region is concerned. This is the first time that Russia is playing quite a substantive role in as far as security for a small nation like Fiji. I think Russia has its own, interest in the Middle East, and it is using Fiji, and Fiji has become like a mercenary. I mean, the UN peacekeeping, as far as Fiji is concerned, people see now Fiji as pretty much a mercenary.
Russia has its own interests and is entitled to do so, like any other sovereign nation. Russia's interest in the Pacific is well-intentioned and on an upward track. However, to suggest that Fiji is acting like a mercenary with respect to its peacekeeping deployments is highly offensive. This mercenary remark is not only offensive to the people working in the United Nations peacekeeping missions around the world, but also the people in these volatile regions and the people of Fiji. Bela Drakadroka is entitled to his opinions, but certainly not entitled to his own facts. It is quite obvious that these disparaging remarks made by Bela Drakadroka are a reflection of his political umbrage against the Fiji government, and by extension, the citizens of Fiji.